Well, here we are in January 2018, January 7th to be exact. To give you an update on Larry, we continue making positive headway to our goal of 100% restoration. Although he hasn't used the hospital bed in even a couple of weeks, they did come and pick it up yesterday, so now we have some of our real estate back. And then he is doing stairs by himself with handrails and a walker at the top and at the bottom of the stairs. And he did a little show off on New Year's Eve. He just picked up his walker and walked across the floor with it. So, but I did want to give you a little report on how Larry is doing. And as always, we are so thankful for your continued prayers, really picturing the brain cells on the right side to span the gulf, so to speak, for the loss of the damaged cells that were on the left side. Is that right? That's right. Okay. Well, last Sunday to close out 2017, we made mention of making resolutions in light of making desired changes in order to live better, in order to enjoy a more prosperous and healthy journey. And of course, with the percentage of failures in keeping resolutions due to the human condition, we concluded that every future second is a first. And furthermore, when that future second becomes the present, the previous second is now history. Therefore, the arrival of every new second presents a first. It presents us with a brand new opportunity like we have never known before. No matter how we set about to accomplish our betterment, Jesus Christ is key. He has affected our lives in splendid ways. He paid for every right we have to enjoy a prosperous journey from the new birth all the way until the 12th of never. And that's a long, long time. For those of you who remember that old song, who sang that, Larry?
Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mathis sang that. Yeah, until the 12th of never, and that's a long, long time. So thanks to the completed works of Jesus Christ, even the stars in their courses have no legal sway upon our lives. The zodiac does not predetermine our infirmities. It does not determine our personality traits. Rather, we must remember and believe that we are seated in Christ, clean, clear, through the heavenlies, beyond the farthest star, at the right hand of God and our God and Father. I've been thinking a lot about biblical path for godly change with the resolutions and the coming of the new year. And people are always wanting to change really every day of the week, but it's kind of a focal point come the new year. Every human being has areas of life where they struggle, areas that we inwardly yearn to change. That is why today's culture revolves around self-improvement. I'm telling you, it is big money. Think about the bookstores. You walk through, you see aisles and aisles and aisles of books on self-improvement. And their titles, their subtitles, their little quotes on the book covers, even the artwork, they just reach out and grab you. And they give you a promise, a hope that appears so real. It makes you want to pull up a chair by the fire right there in the store and just start reading them one by one. It's exciting when you look at the things that they just say so emphatically. Their techniques excite us that at last, if we follow some of the keys in those books, we will succeed. We try and we try, but then we go back to the drawing board. We may even sit down at night when all the house is all quiet and start Googling and reading on the internet to map out yet another new plan for whatever it is we want to change. Much time and energy we spend on analyzing ourselves in an effort to figure out who we are, what makes us tick, and how to make our weaknesses stronger. And that is really about what we do. Our weaknesses become stronger weaknesses because we are so focused on the wrong things. For instant relief, let's recall the last few verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And starting in verse 12, it says, "And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." Let us hear in verse 13 the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear or awe, respect, love God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man or mankind. So for the record, his first and great commandment is to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as it speaks of in the Gospels. It all boils down to one thing. He loves us, and we love him back, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'm not bah humbugging books, libraries, bookstores, or self-help tools. I just want us to keep those elements in their proper pecking order. And those aren't the first things that we do. The mental struggle to find the perfect catalyst for change can become like a death spiral. We can get really disappointed. We can get hopeless that we can never change an area of life that's challenging us. We may even say, "Oh, I can do all things through Christ," and at the same time feel very riddled with hopelessness. And at the last resort, if we can't seem to fix the areas that cause us concern, then we decide, okay, I'll just hide them. I'll just mask them. And then we carry around that guilt of dishonesty and really the repulsiveness at the disappointment in ourselves. It doesn't do one thing for our confidence as believers to lose in the change arena. But you know, nothing is hidden from God. He sees it all. It's good for us that his ways are not like our ways. He accepts us in the beloved, as Ephesians tells us. Another big thank you to Jesus Christ, because he paid the ultimate price. God accepts our bad parts. He accepts us the way that we are. The truth is, he looks upon our hearts, because isn't that who we really are? And with Christ inside of us, having made that decision to bring the only begotten Son who gave his life that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. When God looks upon a heart like that, God accepts us. For the most part, all of us have been there, done that as far as the self-help books. So let's focus on the wisdom found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It does give us the conclusion to the whole matter. Let's love God. Let's observe. Let's watch and guard. Let's retain his commandments. For that is the path for godly change. How one simple decision in our heart could bring about godly change is so amazing. In the Hebrew, there's several words for path, because I wanted to work on the path for change. And these several different words for path, they have various distinctions to them, all from the physical act of walking along a path as it is traveled. It can refer to a manner of living, one's moral code, and it can also refer to making a trench by repetition from walking consistently in the same path. And I'm talking about good ruts there. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So literally or figuratively, either way you look at it, God's word provides the illumination for our feet so we can see where to place them. We can see how to act when they move, its action, and also for the path that we travel. So we have God's illumination to see how we should walk. And then we also have illumination where we walk. God's commandments provide instruction for our manner of living and further instruction as we travel on the path, about the path. It's a pretty good deal. In Psalm 16, verse 11, concerning paths, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So we want to make some changes? Well, God's word instructs us on his loving manner of living so we can experience the fullness of joy. It doesn't sound like there's going to be disappointment, disillusionment, hopelessness, being repulsed at ourselves. Not at all. And Proverbs 4, verse 26, says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." So here we are to mentally weigh out and make level and smooth the path or the entrenchment, the rut made by our feet. That's what we're supposed to do. What is that saying? Choose your ruts carefully. Mm-hmm. Well, we ponder the course of action. The wisdom of the word will level the path of our actions. Let our ways, our habits, even our moral character, our mode of action, make us steadfast in a moral sense and make our journey prosperous in a figurative sense. Going back to that 3 John 2 about our prosperous way. And in Proverbs 1, verse 15, the instruction is, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them." And it's speaking of sinners that would entice us. Don't walk in the way with them, but refrain thy foot from their path. And the wisdom here is, it is not safe to proceed with their manner or moral codes of life. That is not safe for us. We do not want to go in the direction of those that would entice us. We do not want to adapt their habits. Where is the love for God in those things? To love God and yet have an appetite that is totally opposed. So we refrain, we restrain, we withhold ourselves from those entrenchments. We literally don't get sucked into their ruts. And it kind of makes me think of Proverbs 22:6 about training up a child in the way that it should go. Because a child brought up in the love and light of the word, they know safety and security. They're comfortable in that home. They're comfortable with that love and that light and safety. And when those around them would endeavor to entice them otherwise, they become uncomfortable. They literally become uncomfortable, and for a good reason. And they do desire to get back to that safe space where God's love and light are there. And I'm not advocating that we don't speak the word to those that are without God's word. I'm not saying that we recoil into our homes where it's light and happy and peaceful and blessed. No, we have to go out and live in a real world where the God of this world is certainly at the helm. But we definitely do not want to mingle. We don't go down to their level and let their actions become our actions. Because 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 little words, and it tells a whole story. Don't be led away from the truth into error. God is telling us that evil companionship, and it really means that evil communications corrupt. It actually means they shrivel our virtuous dwelling place. They wither our moral codes. It doesn't happen instantly. It just kind of wears away, and the first thing you notice, you feel like you've just withered away. You've shriveled up on the intensity that you had for God in your heart. So be not deceived. Evil communications, associations, companionships, evil communications, they corrupt your good moral values of truth. So we build our virtuous dwelling place upon our love for God and in our keeping His ways, because those two agree. If we love God, would we not be desirous for His diet? Would we not be desirous for the things to have His nature? Would we not desire to be changed so that when people saw us, they would feel that they had seen a small portion of God Almighty? Of course. Proverbs 4, verse 14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." We do not want to enter into their well-trodden road where their caravans travel all the time. I mean, all the evil and all their folks traveling with them. We do not want that. We don't want to live the way that they live. We do not want to join company with those that are hostile to God. In doing that is trouble, harm, and adversity. Psalm 1, the New King James Version, says it this way: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." And speaking of the wicked who are hostile to the things of God, Isaiah 59:8 says, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." So see, the evildoers, those hostile to God, they may look rich, they may enjoy the fine things in life, quote unquote, but they will never experience biblical prosperity without turning to the Word. They won't know health and soundness and completeness, and they really won't even know friendships. They cannot comprehend, and 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us why. In the New King James Version, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man just won't get it. He has no ability to decide a case. He is deep in his trench. He is in a rut, and he cannot get out of his own. His manner of life, his morals, they have caused him to become twisted and distorted. So we certainly don't want to follow the person who cannot know peace. Isaiah 43, verse 16. This is such a beautiful verse. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters." Well, the intention of the Father's heart is to give. It's his intention to grant, to permit, to deliver, to appoint our direction. And this sea is talking about a sea that is breaking. It's a sea that has a noisy surf. It's turbulent. I think of someone on a surfboard. Well, it's so smooth when you're riding that wave, but if you go off that board into that surf, it's pretty tumultuous, that's for sure. So his intention for us is a place of safety. And that word for mighty waters, in the Hebrew, it's speaking of a violent water, one that is damaging and it has fierceness. There's danger there. And it also even includes urine and waste, that they would be waters that would be very unhealthy and toxic. But Isaiah 35:8 talks about a highway. And a highway is a little different from a path. A highway is a thoroughfare. It's like a turnpike or a freeway. And it says, "And an highway shall be there, and a way," Isaiah 35:8. "And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." So this is saying that there is a turnpike that is like a sanctuary from pollution and uncleanness. And on that freeway, there's not going to be any vacillation. There's not going to be any wandering or reeling, but it will be stable in its direction and manner of life. And Proverbs 16:17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserves his soul." This highway is like a raised path or a staircase. And it's for those who walk uprightly. Those who walk uprightly will turn away, as Psalm 1 talks about. They'll withdraw, they'll avoid, they'll pass by. They won't even be curious about hurtful evil. The upright is the watchman of his own soul. He watches, he guards, he keeps. He preserves his soul and guards it from danger. He keeps his soul by guarding it with fidelity. And by these, he protects, he saves, he retains, he preserves his soul. And he takes on that responsibility for his prosperous journey. He preserves that part of himself where the seat of his appetite, his desires, his emotions, and his passions are formed, where they come from. Reminds me of Proverbs 4:23. Where we guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. And all this may sound like a lot to do, but when you think of it, if we love God, why wouldn't we want to take on his nature? The answer is one thing: love God, who first loved us. I mean, loving God is the answer. So having looked at these scriptures regarding the path, what about, how does that affect change? Well, Romans 12:2 talks about the change that born again one should expect. And it reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Metamorpho means to transform, literally or figuratively. It means to change, transfigure, or transform. And in the metamorphosis, we do have work to do, but we don't do the heavy lifting. Next week, we'll look more at our personal change for the better. And we'll see as we work the scriptures next week that if change is too hard, then there is a misunderstanding on our part. So until then, God's love and blessings to all.